All right, well, I'm going to go straight into the content here. Hopefully we're not having too bad of a connection problem over time. But if you see a connection problem, please raise your hand by pressing star 2 if it's getting really bad, and I'll reconnect again and try to connect and make it work. If not, then you know it'll be recorded and you'll have to just listen to it as soon as the recording comes out. But that would be a pain because I wouldn't be able to answer your questions. So anyway, besides all that, we had a little problem there, but we're back to normal now. So I'm going to go straight into some of the concepts of rapport. I'm going to briefly go over the stuff that we talked about last week. And if you don't have any questions at all whatsoever, press star 2 if you're on the phone, like I said, or ask the questions directly on the internet. And I will get to those questions and answer them person to person. Hopefully, maybe I can get a little closer to the mic. That may actually help. I don't really know. And make sure the mic is connected properly. It is. Okay, we're good. All right. So let's talk a little bit about rapport. Let's go over some of the concepts last time. Ultimately, there is one major concept you have to know about rapport, and that is that rapport is what it actually is. It's a direct emotional transfer from one person to another. That's what rapport is. If you've thought it was something else, then you're not alone. A lot of people have thought it was something else, but really that's all that it is. At the end of everything, it's just about you transferring your emotion to the other person and them transferring their emotion back to you. So this is a crucial stage in an interaction. In fact, it's the stage where most guys actually lose their grip over the interaction and it starts to fall apart. So a lot of guys think that their problem is while they're in the stage of attraction and they're like trying to build the attraction, they're trying to get a girl to like them for the very first time, but that's not actually where most of the problems are. Most of the problems are back in the stage of rapport a little bit later on when they don't know to stop joking around. Either guys have a problem because they go into rapport too early, or they have a problem because they don't go into rapport at all. They try to skip over it and go straight to sex. If you are bantering a lot and you never go into rapport if you don't go in the right time, then you'll lose interest and sort of walk away. So if you've ever been talking to a girl and things seem to be going great, and then all of a sudden out of nowhere, you can sort of see the interest, her interest in you, like disappearing from her face. And that is because you're not going to rapport and you didn't go into rapport in the right time. Now, the reason why most guys don't do this is because they don't qualify. Qualifying is the final stage of attraction, and it's what links the sort of attraction phase with the rapport phase. So just for people who are kind of new and don't really know that much about this yet, or still reading the Tao of Badass and haven't gotten all the way through it yet, any interaction that you ever go into with a woman, you're going to be following certain steps. If you deviate from these steps and you try to jump around, typically what happens is the attraction dies. Either the attraction will disappear, or you'll fall into the friend zone, or she'll be creeped out, things like this. So if you skip over different stages or try to avoid stages or stay in a stage for too long, then the problems that come along with that, all the outcomes that happen because you screwed up in the beginning, they start to affect you later on. So, it can really ruin your interactions. It can screw up everything. And I want to talk about that system real quick. So the system is, and I came across this because this is the system that every woman goes through. Every single woman goes through as she decides to sleep with somebody. So if a woman's going to sleep with a guy, she has to have gone through all these different steps in order to make that decision. And if she hasn't gone through all the steps, she will not make that decision to do it. She won't skip anything. She won't move forward. On very, very rare occasions will that actually be true. But usually it's not true. She will always avoid pushing forward with the interaction if you don't follow these specific steps. Now let me tell you what those steps are. The first step is the stage of attraction. That's where you are building curiosity. Everything in the interaction is about curiosity. Okay, it says there's a buzz. Let's see. Maybe it's because of this. Okay, I'm going to try to fix this problem. You guys are having a buzzing issue, so let me just... I think I may know what it is. Let me just see. I think it was my computer, like, buzzing around, so let me see if I can fix this problem real fast. Sorry for the technical difficulties. This has actually never happened before. Seriously, this doesn't normally happen to me. My place is usually tidier than this. Okay. Let me get rid of this guy. And let's see if that works. All right, so hopefully that'll solve that problem. I'm not sure if we're getting any more problems. But if we are, guys, please raise your hands, press star 2, and let me know if you're still having any audio problems. Hopefully this will solve that, though. So, okay, anyway, so the first stage is the stage of attraction. That's where you're building curiosity. It's when someone is deciding to sort of be interested or intrigued by you. This is the stage where most guys think they screw up because it's the most important stage as a default to live at. So if you live to connect with people and you're always trying to connect with somebody on a deep emotional level, then whenever you go to talk to a woman for the first time, then you are going to run into a big issue there. That is that most women who don't know you are not going to want to talk to you because you're trying to connect with them too fast. You're trying to be over the top, like sensitive. And that can really turn a lot of women off. And so what you have to do is live in the stage of attraction first. In the attraction stage, you are sort of being a lighthearted, fun, and playful person. Like, I would imagine yourself being like a little boy, where most of your personality is lighthearted and silly, and you're joking around, and nothing's really serious, and, you know, kids are really interesting. You know, they'll be playing with a toy, and then the toy will break, and they'll freak out, and then 2 minutes later, they're playing with another toy, and they totally forgot about the other one. So then you have to remember that that's the kind of personality that you need to lead with whenever you are meeting someone for the very, very first time. Now, if you've already gone through, like say you met them online, this is really screws up a lot of guys. If you meet a girl online and then you start talking to her, you know, and you meet up with her, it's very likely that a lot of the attraction stuff could already be done, but you're not finished with attraction yet. You can't just go straight into deep conversation. You have to have some kind of leeway, some kind of segue that gets you in between that. And the way that you do that is by using something called qualifying. Qualifying is a stage in attraction, the very last stage. That's the bridge between attraction and rapport. So attraction is the first phase, a first major stage. Rapport is the second stage. Seduction is the third stage. And then relationship balance is the fourth stage. That's where you're kind of bouncing between different stages and you're balancing different parts of your relationship. That's something that we're not going to get into until possibly next month because it's not as important as what we're going to go over now. So what... And actually, next month, I think we're going to get into seduction, so that's kind of an exciting topic for a lot of guys. So definitely be here. And if there's any buzzing next month, I'll get 100 different emails of people telling me that there's audio problems because it's going to be a really powerful powerful one. So ultimately, if you skip over these stages or you don't know the stages, which is even worse, then you don't know why your interactions aren't going well. And every time that you begin to build attraction with somebody, it'll fall apart almost instantly every single time. So you want to make sure that you follow this process. The qualifying process is where she begins to chase you. And there are several different ways to do that. In the Tao of Badass, I talk a lot about the different ways to get a woman to chase you. There are a few major common ways to get a woman to do that. But ultimately, you have to have your own personal favorite way of doing it, and you just go with it, and if it works, then you're golden. But you have to remember to do it. Most guys don't actually get women to chase them because they don't think a woman needs to chase them. They don't think that, oh, this chick is really hot and whatever. I don't want to make it hard for her to win me over. So I'm going to be really nice and do everything that she needs so that she doesn't have to bend over backwards or jump through any hoops. Well, that's not good because if she doesn't invest at all, she doesn't care about what she's won. So it's essentially what happens, and this is the same thing for a lot of different, there's a lot of psychology around the study of qualifying. And it turns out that not only in relationships and dating, but also in a lot of other areas of our lives, qualifying is the deciding factor for whether or not you appreciate what you've gotten. Meaning, if you give someone $100, let's say, right, they have a happiness level of +5 because of that. Whatever, I'm making this number up, but let's say it's +5, right? And then over time, that happiness level starts to drop, and then eventually they get used to having $100, and it's not a +5 anymore. It's a average, just a normal, back to normal again. They have a spike, and then it drops back down again. Well, if you gave that person $100 after you qualified them, they'd have a happiness factor of around +8, let's say, and then when it dropped back down, it wouldn't drop below a 4. This is what happens. People are more happy with what they've gotten if they had to work to get it. And if they've chased something and chased after something to get it. And that's what qualifying is all about. Qualifying is taking a woman who, you know, you're an option for her, and then walking her through this process that's very intelligent process, that on the other side, as soon as she comes out the other side of it and she's still with you there, then she feels like she deserves to have this interaction and she wants it more because she's had to work to get it. What a lot of guys do is they think that qualifying is where they are kind of a dickhead. And a lot of guys will be a dickhead instead of actually qualifying a girl. They'll be like, well, why the fuck should I hang out with you? You know, like actually being mean. And whenever guys do this to women, women tend to seize up and freak out. And if it actually works and they progress through, usually the women have serious issues around this attraction. Like they get super needy or clingy or, you know, can't let go and are trying to control and are super jealous and things like that. And that happens a lot in their interaction because of that. Or they'll get up to the very last moment where they're about to have sex and then, you know, you'll be in bed making out with her and you'll be all but naked and she'll only have her underwear on and you'll go to take her underwear off and she'll tell you to stop, you know? And the reason why that's happening is because you didn't get her to invest and, like properly invest in the interaction, and you didn't build enough rapport because she never felt like it was worth building rapport for. So if you try to use other techniques instead of qualifying to get her to chase you, it's very likely you're going to run into a lot of serious issues and she won't actually feel invested and you won't be able to push forward with the interaction. To me, it's all about effectiveness. What is effective? What works? If it doesn't work, then why the hell do you need to know it? I mean, you really don't need to know it. It's going to take up space in your brain. And if you know something that does work and you don't use it, again, you're kind of wasting space in your brain with that information. So you don't want to do that. You want to make sure you use everything that you get in contact with, that you actually find, and all these concepts. But also, you want to make sure that, you know, your end goal is, you have that in mind. Like, if your end goal is to sleep with her, to hook up with her, to date her, to marry her, whatever it is, you know, the bigger the goal, the more long-term it'll be. You know, and I've gone through, you know, interactions with women where I have met her and then literally 20 minutes later, we were sleeping together. So it doesn't have to be a very, very long interaction. And, you know, I'd never met her before in my life, but for that moment. And it wasn't like I met her at a swinger party or anything like that. You know, I'd meet her at a random bar. And so if you think there's a long period of time in between when you first meet somebody and when you sleep with them, there isn't. But the only reason why I was able to actually do that, able to go so fast, is because I understand these steps. And I went through these steps really rapidly. If you haven't, if you don't know the steps, you can't go quickly through it. You'll be at the mercy of your circumstances. You know, it'll either work or it won't. That's what the concept of getting lucky means. Getting lucky means something happened to you, not that you made it happen. So I don't want you to be lucky. I want you to fashion or engineer luck. I want you to create luck, and I want you to be skill. As the reason why that you actually sleep with somebody or don't, it's a choice, and that's what you want. You want it to be a choice. So once you get past the qualifying stage, that's when you dip into the rapport phase. This is whenever being a kid and being playful and fun stops. You're not doing that anymore. You're completely done. Instead, you are switching over to being more of like a friend, more of like someone that you would connect with. You know, and this is something that a lot of guys are afraid to do because they don't dig deep enough into themselves to get rid of the bullshit that's sort of in the way of them and connecting. They don't want to reveal themselves. They don't want to open up. They don't want to be vulnerable. This is like a big word for a lot of guys. They don't want the vulnerability because they could get attacked. Well, what I'm going to tell you is going to allow you to, let's just say this. Let's imagine that you could seem vulnerable enough so that other people would open up. If you could seem vulnerable enough so that other people would open up first, then would you feel comfortable enough if they opened up first to open up yourself? Probably. You probably would. If they're like, let me tell you something about myself I don't normally tell people. If someone started talking like that and started telling you things like this, you probably feel comfortable enough after that to be able to open up yourself. Now, the goal here is to be able to open up first, but at least you can, you know, get to the point where it seems as though you're more open than most people to the people that you interact with. And if that's the case, it's good enough for most people and they will open up. Ultimately, though, your goal is to actually open up first. And I use something called the deep rapport formula in order to do that. So I talked about how I was going to go over the deep rapport formula during this call. I didn't go over it last time. So I am going to go over that during this call. If you don't have a piece of paper and a pen or a pencil or something or a Word document opened or on your computer, you really, really need to do that right now, because I'm going to give you some really powerful stuff here that is going to, if you forget a little piece of it, it's not going to work. So you want to make sure that you remember all of it. And the only way to get 100% retention is to write it all down. So I'm going to, let's see. Let me just get through some questions here. Okay, cool. I'll get to the questions that you guys have written in a moment, but first I'm going to go over some of the earlier stages of rapport so that you guys can get an understanding of that stuff. So last time I talked about there are four major stages of rapport. There's light rapport, wide rapport, deep rapport, and release. So light rapport is when you're searching for potential emotional connection. So that would be like, how's your day going, right? That's a light rapport question. Wide rapport is finding a potential emotional connection point. And that is something like when someone answers that question, they may go, oh, it's pretty good. And I, you know, I went down to the beach today and looked at the water for 20 minutes. That was really soothing. And then came back and had lunch and blah, 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 right? So they're talking about things and it's giving you a lot of things to go from there. Now, if you ask a typical question like, how's your day going or how you doing, you're going to get an autopilot response. And we talked about this last time about getting autopilot responses from people. So if I were to ask Josh, if I were to ask you, what's going on? What would be your response?
Not much.
Right. That's a tape, right? So I just hit the play button on his tape and it just automatically played back. That's exactly what happens. And we all have these tapes. So my way of breaking this pattern, this is a pattern that we have, and we actually have this pattern because, we don't want to be thinking about stuff like this all the time. We want to be thinking about other stuff. So our brain puts a response on autopilot so that we don't have to think about what we're saying. Because very often that most interaction is fruitless, as an emotionless interaction. It's just like, oh, pretty good, or not much, or you know, good, how about you, or things like that, right? And it's just this ping pong back and forth. So I'm going to ask you the same exact question, but I'm just going to change it a little bit. And we went over this last time a little bit, but what did I ask you the first time? Sorry. It was
what's going on,
right? Okay. So I'll ask you the same question. What's going on with you? it's obviously a very different question, right?
Yeah,
so you're like, well, what's going on with you? Well, and then you have to think about what you're doing right now. Like, what's going on in your life? Like, what really is actually happening? If I were to say, what's going on with in your life right now? Again, that would be the same exact question. What's going on? That's what I mean. But it just breaks that pattern. And so all of a sudden you wake up and you are having a real conversation as you wake up, right? And you have this ability to do this to anybody ever at any given moment. Almost everybody is in a constant state of patterns. And if you can draw them out of their pattern, then you can be the only person they remember for the entire day, right? And this is one of the ways that I would use, one of the things I would use to my advantage whenever I was meeting women who were working, like, you know, anybody. We're talking about strippers, we're talking about waitresses, you know, baristas, hostesses, someone on the, you know, on even someone on the phone. Like, I had a call today with someone for a hotel that I had to book, and I just started joking around as soon as I got on the phone, and they started laughing, and then it was immediately I was outside of the normal. You know about this, Josh, because you do this all the time too. You're outside of that normal pattern, and they have no power outside of that normal pattern. They're just normal people. So if you want to break a woman's pattern so that she doesn't sort of use her tricks and things on you and her tests on you, then you have to recognize a woman's patterns naturally already that she could be in, and you need to meet her at those patterns and then sort of break her off from that pattern once you get in there. You can't just kind of come at her sideways and expect her to change completely without your coercion. You have to let her feel like this is a really comfortable place for her to be, and then draw her out of that so that sort of natural feeling. I kind of explain it like this. If you were outside of a car, in another car, and you saw a car driving next to you, or not next to you, let's say you saw a car driving, right? What would be the easiest way to make that car turn left? What would be the easiest way? You know, there are two major thoughts on this. Now, you can tell me which ones you guys thought of in a minute, but the two major concepts here are T-bone it, like drive your car into the car, like come completely sideways, hit the car, and it'll turn sideways, right? It won't have any more momentum, but it'll turn sideways. It'll turn over, turn left. And say if you came from the right and hit it, you'd basically run into it. Or you can go alongside it and go the exact same speed, and over a very long period of time, turn left, and they will turn right with you without even thinking, right? That's kind of how it goes. So the easiest way is to go next to them and then turn slightly so they turn with you. The harder way that causes more damage is forcing them to turn, to change, right? Forcing them to to change against their will. This gives a lot of really bad responses. A lot of guys will do this. They'll go, hey, stop being in work mode. All right, well, that doesn't really work, does it? Because if a woman's at work, she's in work mode for a reason, and you'll get a ton of resistance if you do that. So instead, you have to meet her at work. You have to meet her at that work mode and then draw her out, right? So instead, you're acting like a customer, and then say if it was a someone at work, you might, my major thing that I would say is, how's your day going so far? Or how's work going so far is my big one. How's work going so far? And then it's immediately, I'm not a customer anymore. I'm now a person who's like probably who's worked in the food service industry, who was who knows their plight, who understands their problems. And that is really, really, really powerful tool. It's an extremely powerful tool. I got a couple of questions. Okay. So I'm going to get to all the questions in just a minute here. And we have quite a few of them. So it may be a while of answering questions. But first, I'm going to get through this little process here. So if you want different wide rapport responses, then you have to. It's important. There's no way around this. You have to understand how to break that pattern that they're in. You can't automatically hit the play button on a response because she'll go into a, oh, you're that kind of dude mode, and you're done. Immediately you're done. You can't undo that very easily. It's very, very difficult to undo because now she put you in a folder in her mind. And once you're in that folder, it's really hard to pull something out of that folder and put it in another one. So if she's like, oh, maybe he's not that kind of guy. If she thinks that, she'll have a congruence issue where she's like, well, I thought that he was. Am I wrong now, right? And she'll have this really big problem in her head. And it's all about whether or not you're authentic as a person. And if that's what she's thinking and wondering this whole time, then you want to make sure, well, if that is what she's thinking, then she's not going to be able to actually enjoy the interaction. You're already done. It's already past the point of no return for you. So you don't want to do that. Don't want to get her to the point where she is questioning whether or not you're an authentic person, an authentic man. Instead, you want it to be very natural and you don't want it to work easily. So that's one thing, and I just wanted to kind of touch on that for a minute. Before I get into deep rapport formula, I'm going to go into some questions here. There are a lot of questions, so I'm going to read over a couple here and then respond after I read them. So just give me just 1 second here. Actually, do you guys have anything that you want to add to this at all? Brad specifically, if you have anything that you want to add to this while I'm reading this?
Yeah, actually, I was going to talk about the fact that...
Okay, that's enough. I'm just kidding. I'm joking. I'm totally joking. Go ahead.
Well, it really helps me to think of these autopilot responses as far as being able to understand them as a survival technique or an efficiency technique, because, if you think about as a barista or, somebody who's working at a place where they see customers all day long from all different types of people, they don't want to spend all of their mental energy on like trying to figure out each and every customer because they're going to see hundreds of them. So instead they create these patterns so that in the back of their mind, they can be thinking about other things, what they're going to do later tonight or how, what they still need to do before the day's done for work. Josh, you've been a barista in the past. I mean, I'm sure most of the time you're not thinking about each and every customer that's coming up to the counter. You're actually thinking about what you're going to do later, if you're going to hang out with friends or if you're, if you still have things to do for work. So, I mean, it's the same with girls, right? I mean, they if they're an attractive woman, they see tens to maybe hundreds, depending on what they're doing, of guys in a day who come up and, say, hey, how's it going?
Right.
So they can't spend all of their mental energy on each and every interaction trying to figure out that person just to be like, oh, he's lame,
Oh, right. Yeah, exactly.
So as an efficiency thing, we've developed these autopilot responses, over many, many years so that she can be more efficient with the use of her mind.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we only have a limited number of resources.
Yeah, exactly.
Think about this. If you've ever driven a car and talked on the phone at the same time, you're doing something that is absolutely impossible. It's just impossible. And you've done it. You're doing it. And you're effectively doing it. You're turning. You're going the right direction. But your subconscious brain is driving your car. You are not driving that car anymore. Subconscious mind is. And it's just checking in like, am I going the right direction? Okay. Is it this way? Okay. And sometimes if you're on the phone, you're having a deep conversation, your conscious mind isn't available. So what do? You drive past your exit, or you drive past where you're supposed to go. You absentmindedly pull into your driveway when you're supposed to be halfway across town by now, you know? And that happens. So we have these things for a reason, and there are times in which it's not smart to break them, but we'll get into that another time as well. So I'll go over the first question here. Thanks for that, adding that. That was awesome. Actually, both the Joshes in this room were baristas. So maybe it's a Josh thing to be a barista. Or an ENT thing. Yeah. I'm an ENTP. He's an ENTJ. And we are Josh's. here's a question from DL. He said that previously we had talked about, he had mentioned that he told a girl up front that he was polyamorous. Well, this past weekend, she said she was okay with it, but she said that she would prefer that he only date her. And to me, that's immediately a big red flag. If a girl said, oh, okay, that's okay, but I'd rather that you only dated me, I'd be like, well, you know, I'm not the right guy for you, so... I'm not the guy who's going to be with you forever. You know, this isn't the perfect relationship for either of us. And we're going to find somebody better for us than each other. But in the meantime, let's hang out and blah, blah, blah. So if you did that DL, and then she still had this response, I'm really surprised. So that would throw up a complete red flag for me. Either that, or maybe you didn't do it. Maybe you didn't do it word for word. And that could cause this next reaction. So he shows up at her place, and she's wearing a shirt that says, she made sure that he read the shirt. It says, "Do not break my heart." That's what the shirt said, right? And so obviously this woman is scared of this interaction. Now, he didn't know what to say, so he kind of, DL, I guess you kind of like went down and played with her dog and started talking to her dog for a minute. Like, at least you're not wearing t-shirts that are sending me messages, you know? But he's like, what should I have done? Is there a proper way to approach this? Yes, actually, there is a proper way to approach this. And that proper way is to say, hey, look, maybe we misunderstood each other. Just because you have gone through the polyamory gamut with a girl and you've had that sort of conversation does not mean she fully understands it yet. It does not mean that. I mean, maybe she does understand it, but it doesn't mean she fully accepts it yet. What you have to do is you need to make sure that as you see these things pop up, you address them immediately and you go, hey, you know, why are you, you know, I can't break your heart if we're not being exclusive. I can't cheat on you. It's impossible. I'm polyamorous. I can't, there's no cheating in polyamorous relationships. I can't, if I was a dick, you'd just leave. It's not like, I can't break your heart. In order to break your heart, we have to be exclusively dating. And, you know, that's just how it is. And I'm a nice guy, so I'm not a dickhead. So if you're asking me if I'm to not be a dickhead, okay. But that's not what you're asking. You're asking me not to break your heart. So is there, even if she's kind of joking around, you can't let her sneak these little things in there because they'll start to compound and then all of a sudden you'll be in an exclusive relationship and you don't want to be in it. So if you don't want to be in that relationship, which is why you would be polyamorous in the first place. So DL, I would say that you're going to have to get used to explaining this more than once. And don't blame her at all because it's not her fault. She's just wired to want to keep you in her life and keep you exclusive with her. So if you did, when you're being polyamorous, you're sort of stepping outside of that world of exclusivity, and it's not really normal for a lot of people. So you have to be able to handle that. And I think that's why you're asking this question in the first place, is because you wanted to know how to handle it. So it's a really good question, but I would say that the answer to that is that you have to reinforce it. Every little time she tries to bring it up and she tries to get you to be exclusive, it's a do or die situation. You're like, look, if this isn't right for you, please tell me. I don't want to waste your time. You know, it's got to be a decision that she makes right then and there every time. Because if you let it slip once, let it slip twice, all of a sudden you wake up and it's like, oh, she's moved into your apartment. And, you know, now you being interested in another woman is cheating. And when from the very beginning, if you're polyamorous, that's not the case. If you guys have, if you're listening, you don't really know that much about polyamory, then you need to read the free report that I gave away with the purchase of the Dow of Badass called Dating Multiples, or I think it was called Polyamory versus Monogamy. And it's how to decide whether or not you want to be in a monogamous relationship or a polyamorous one, and how to go about being in a polyamorous one. I don't think any of us really need help on how to be in an exclusive relationship, because we've done that several times, I'm sure. If you haven't yet, then you will. It's your natural instinct, because we're sort of taught to do that socially. But not a lot of people were really exposed to it. So you have to really take your time and help them to understand. And at some point I will create a whole separate product just on polyamory because it's a huge thing. And I wrote like a 25 page book on it, small little book on it, just sort of explaining it in brief detail. But I will go into it in a lot more detail in the future because I will have to, because there are things like this where, what do I do in this situation? You know, what do I do if she keeps coming back and wants to be exclusive? How do I know when she really is the one that I want to be with? How do I know the difference? And there's a lot of information that you have to know around that in order to truly understand it. So we'll come back to that in another time, but definitely don't let her sneak that past you. Now, here's another question from Jonathan. He's asking, isn't it the female gender role, the female's gender role, to solicit emotions? So he's wondering, isn't that the case? Which it is, right? If we're creating love all the time, will it make us seem overly sensitive or lose attraction or get in the friend zone? Yes, it will. It absolutely will. That's why there's a specific part of the interaction, a specific stage in the interaction only devoted to this. You don't do it too early. If you do it too early, you fall into the friend zone. If you do it too late, then she thinks you're creepy or she loses interest. That's how it always is. So instead, you have to do it just at that right, proper time. Now, when you're talking about gender roles are, so the female gender role is empathy, which is, Jonathan, you're absolutely right about that. Empathy is to elicit an emotion in someone. It's to draw out this emotional state or direct emotion from somebody and to feel it. That's what a female gender role is now. It used to be nurturing in a physical sense, but now it's nurturing in an emotional sense, or in more specifically, actually in a social sense, if you can imagine that. So, and the male gender role used to be providing and protecting in a physical sense. Now it's providing and protecting in a social sense, social providing and social protecting. That's why there are people who are weak physically, but are on top of the world and people need them, because the gender roles have shifted massively, massively. It's a huge, huge change from every other species in the world. It's not about who is more powerful anymore. It's about who is more social influence and is more socially powerful and understands social interactions better. And that's what, that's the kind of guy that women are attracted to now. So from the female gender role perspective, it's her job to draw out emotions in you. And that's exactly why rapport is a crucial component to an interaction. Because if you do not let her draw that emotion out, then she won't feel like she's feminine in the interaction and she'll start to fight you for masculine power. And you'll have somebody who you're talking to one second who's really cool and comfortable and it's all great and you're having a good time and laughing. And then all of a sudden out of nowhere, a flip switches and she's asking you to do a bunch of shit and she's like trying to get you to comply left and right and really kind of being a bitch to you, you know, for lack of a better word, you know, and fighting with you over that power. Are you laughing because you experienced this? Is that what happened? Or?
I warned Josh one night. We've lived together in the past and
different Josh. This is Josh F.
Yeah, Josh F. Well, actually, we live together now too. But I warned him one night that we might have to lock the doors because I think she might be burning our house down or coming in with a knife or something.
Oh, really? Yeah. Scary.
Joking.
Jokingly, sort of halfway. Yeah. Got the halfway hand from Josh right now. He's like, sort of joking. Well, yeah, I mean, that's kind of what happens, you know. If you don't allow her to draw that out of you at the right time, again, it's all about the timing on this. It's all about the timing. If you skip the stages, and if you want to know more about the timing, read that section called The System in the Tao of Badass, and you'll get everything about the timing on that. It's really, really, I mean, I go into a lot of detail on that. Follow those steps, and when you see the signs that it's time for rapport, then you go into it. If you do it too early, yes, you will. You will screw that up, and it will mess up. You will seem overly sensitive, of course. But your gender role is about your default mode of operation. If a woman is playing the female gender role, her default mode of operation is to draw out emotion in you. And that's something that you are attracted to as a man. All of us who are on this call or in this room, we're all attracted to the female gender role. I know, because that's what draws you to something like the Tao of Badass. That's why you're here in the first place. And if you're attracted to the female gender role, that means that you want to play the male gender role. So if you were constantly being emotional all the time, like trying to draw up this emotion and trying to build rapport constantly, then yes, you can come across like you are trying to play the female gender role. And that will cause you to attract women who want to play the male gender role. And that can really frustrate you. So you don't want, you know, you don't want that to happen. So instead, you're going to be saving a specific pocket of the interaction just for this rapport so she can get fulfilled with that, with her gender role, and she can feel like a woman, and then you don't have to fight her sort of for anything after that. It's really, really simple. So I'm going to go through more questions. If you guys have any more, if you're on the phone, press star two now. If you're on the phone and you have a question and you want me to answer, if you're online on the webcast version of this, then, you can just go ahead and submit that question right there in the Q&A box. And I'm going over these questions now, so it's probably a really good time to do that. Got a couple questions from the same people, so I'm going to go back to DL here with this one. He says that he's gotten into Latin dance lately, and he's meeting some very attractive Latin women, which is natural, I guess. But he's struggling with the language barrier, which is normal. But what's interesting is he said he has twice identified women that he wanted to meet. But what is interesting is I have twice identified women that I wanted to meet. I went over, started chatting, and ultimately asked them to dance. Well, in situations they declined, in two situations, I guess, they declined. But as soon as they did, their girlfriend asked me to dance. I've never had that situation before. So first, have I dealt with it before, he's asking me, with the language barrier in dating. And then what would my comments on him picking one woman and their girlfriend's expressing interest? Okay. So first off, dancing, especially Latin dance, is very sensual, extremely sensual for any woman. Most women that, and it's very likely that the women that you're approaching are women that are kind of meeker with their sexuality. Now, maybe they are really attractive and maybe they have, beautiful bodies, but they're probably a little bit nervous to express that in public, because if they do, they're afraid they're going to get approached by every fucking guy in the place. Because when a woman starts moving sexually on the dance floor and she's really, really hot, every guy in the whole fucking place looks at her. It's just kind of how it is. And she can sort of lay low and not be strutted around like that in the beginning. She doesn't know if you're going to be the kind of guy who can protect her. She doesn't know if she can trust you yet. It's really kind of a forward thing to ask. And dancing is very, very forward. The one thing that that's interesting is that, in the Latin community, dancing seems to be a lot more comfortable for a lot of people. But if you're not in Latin America or in Mexico or even Spain for that matter at all, then you're not in an environment where that's normal. You're in the U.S., and that's not a very normal thing to do here. So I would guess that a lot of women, even though they are of Latin descent, would kind of hesitate at first. And their friends, who probably don't get as much attention, I'm guessing, who are probably not as attractive, they don't care. They want the attention. They want guys to look at them because they haven't had to deal with a bunch of guys hitting on them all the time. They don't get that problem as often. So that's probably why that's happening, that you're showing interest in her, and her friend's like, I'll dance, But if you asked her friend directly, I bet she would freak out too. So it's possible. What I would do is an experiment. This is an experiment for you. Walk up and ask the next girl that you go up to, ask her friend to dance and see if she volunteers. Or if her friend turns you down, then turn to her and say, well, how about you? Would you like to dance? And see if she says yes. It may be that there's some kind of a really interesting psychological barrier going on here. Some kind of a, what's it called? Rejection and retreat kind of concept, where if they see you offering to someone and that person turns you down, they're more likely to take you up on it because they saw your reaction. They're kind of more comfortable. They feel like they owe you, right? And that could be the case. And then once you get them on the dance floor, you may win them over, and it might be the end, right? I had a friend who was most of maybe 90% of his sort of quote unquote game was on the dance floor, and once he got there, he was pretty close to unstoppable as sort of a pickup artist, which is what he was. If you have that natural skill set and you want to draw women in with it, I think it's a great idea. Now, with the language barrier, I have dealt with the language barrier, and I'll tell you right now, if you're having problems with the language barrier, you're relying too much on words. There really is, I'm serious whenever I say this, really, really, really serious, so take it seriously, that what you say in the beginning of an interaction does not fucking matter. Women are not listening. They might listen just because it's something they have to do, or they have to kind of go through the process and the motions of listening and like responding back, but they're not basing any of their decisions on anything that you say. Almost all you're talking is with body language. Now, again, if you've been dancing a lot, your body language is probably very sexual, very straightforward, and very direct. That's good, but bad at the same time, because that's a conversation that's over. If someone walks up and there's no, their body language is always facing you, then you know that they want you, and they know that they need you, and they want your attention. There's no more conversation. The conversation's over, right? You said, I want you. They said, I know. The end, right? You don't want to do that. Instead, you want to use negative body language often. I've picked up women who don't speak a word of English. In fact, I had made out with women and then tried to talk to them afterwards, and they were like, oh, no, speak English. And I'm like, are you serious? Like, I thought I just had a point, because they were laughing. You know, they were laughing because my body language was perfect. I was bantery. I was taking them and spinning them around. It was all body language. And you have to remember that, especially whenever you are in a place where English is not the first language, and you, or you know, whatever your native language is not the first language, and you don't know the language that most of the people speak. You have to rely on body language. And the way that you do that, you have to look over the negative body language section, or the whole body language section of the Tao of Badass. It's really powerful. And if you haven't gotten Hacking Attraction, you probably should do that as well. I'll go over body language in detail in that, and there's actually a video of me teaching a class on it. So check that out and really dive in deep with that stuff and really understand it. Don't just know it. Knowledge is bullshit, to be honest. You don't just want to know this stuff. You have to understand. And the difference between knowledge and understanding is application of knowledge. It's using that knowledge and then getting feedback. That's what understanding is. When you understand the concept of body language, you won't have any problem with language, with you know, the language barrier anymore, because the body language is the universal language. It's the same anywhere you go, no matter where you are. It will always be that way. So you want to make sure... Oh, I just closed someone's question there, but I think I remember. You want to make sure that your body language is pristine, that you have an ability to sort of well up emotions in other people just by the way you move your body. And I go into that in a lot of detail. Most of that actually is showing women that you're not needy. And that comes across with negative body language. And you want to use negative body language to your advantage, because you want women to at least have the impression that other women are desiring you. Because if other women are truly desiring you, you're going to move in a way that is going to show them that you're not needy. You don't need that interaction. And then what guys actually do physically, whenever a lot of women want them, the physical thing that they do, the action point they do, that women subconsciously look at, that makes them decide this guy's attractive and that he's high value, is they turn their backs to the women that are talking to them. Briefly. They just turn around for a minute and turn back around again and talk. If you're too afraid to turn your back to a woman while she's talking to you or while you're talking to her, even if it was while you're both laughing, especially while you're both laughing, if you can't turn your back for a moment and then turn back around again, you're too needy. You have to be able to do that. So try that out. Try, you know, if she's smiling or something, joke around and turn your back for just literally the count of one or two and then turn back around again and then keep joking and keep laughing and keep bantering. It doesn't matter what you're doing. There's so many physical banter lines that have nothing to do with your mouth. In fact, banter is content-free conversation for a reason. It's not about the things that you're saying. It's about what you're doing while you're saying that. So, very important concept. I just killed a question on accident from Igor. Igor and or Igor. I think it's Igor, though. Young Frankenstein reference. So, Igor asked a question. Oh, geez, am I going to forget it now? Hold on.
Thank you. Do you try the black book technique in...
Oh, yeah, that's right, that's what it was. Yeah, Igor said he tried the black book technique in, he said it was in Japan, and it didn't really work. He got the answers, but he never really got the phone numbers. Now, cultural differences are going to change the black book technique specifically. Now, there aren't a lot of techniques that cultural differences will change, but that one in particular is specific to a place where writing things down has an association with it. Meaning, when I take out a pen and a piece of paper and I hand it to somebody in the U.S. and most of Europe, actually, and, you know, and Australia and a lot of English-speaking countries, or at least where English is prevalent, the natural response is to take that and to write down information for contacting, right? Now, if in Japan there's a different natural reaction where that, you know, a different way that people give information, you may have to meet them on that mode. So you hit, what you're trying to do is you're trying to actually press that play button. This is like one of those times when you're trying to actually play the pattern. You're not trying to break the pattern, you're trying to play it. You're trying to make them go, oh, well, here's a piece of paper and I've already got a pen in my hand, I must be writing my phone number down, and they do it. It's just like a, you know, it's just what we do, right? So whenever you ask these questions as they go through the process of qualifying, then, you know, of course, they will be more and more invested as that process goes on. So one thing you have to keep in mind as well is that if you've tested this in Japan and you didn't see response, let me just get back to this in a bit. So I got a few more questions that are kind of relevant. If you're in Japan and you're doing this on Japanese women, try doing it on women that are not Japanese and see if you get a different result. If you do, then it must be a cultural difference, and that's what's going on. If you don't get a different result and no one's giving you their phone number, then there's something going on with the way you're using the technique in the first place. There's probably something that you're doing that is not to the T exactly what you do in the black book technique. We have a black book technique video, I think, that I go over and I teach a little bit more about the process in the video. If I were you though, Igor, I'd go back to the last founding members call, and I would go through that call and make sure you're doing it exactly as it's laid out in the way it was described during that call, because it's very likely if you're not getting the same responses. I've had a lot of other guys do this, and they've all gotten the exact same response. But if you only did it a few times, you got to keep doing it. You have to keep doing it. You know, keep doing it and keep doing it until you start to see a response, because what's probably happening is you are, it's very likely that you may be putting too much pressure on the interaction, too much pressure on the process. You really have to do step by step exactly what I say to do, which is when you hand her the book, you have to distract yourself with something or talk to somebody else, or you really have to give her space and let her do it. You have to put the book in her hands. If you're writing it all down, you won't get her number, but if you give it to her, it's much more likely that you will, because you'll be effective with that pattern. If it's a phone thing, maybe everyone in Japan has been using phones to write notes down since, you know, the 1950s. They've had cell phones there. So if that's the case, then you may have to hand her your phone to put the notes on, because it may be a different kind of pattern, you know, for her to type that stuff in the phone. So if you're seeing results where it's not working out, definitely try. He put Igor. He wrote his name. All right, good. Definitely try. Try it with women who are not Japanese. And if you're still running into barriers, it's almost certainly something with your body language that's happening here. So keep that in mind. I got a question here from Phil that I really need to answer because it's important. Phil is asking, in rapport, do you turn your back? No, you do not, Phil. You do not turn your back in rapport. That was specifically an attraction question that I got from DL at the time. And DL had a problem when he was meeting women for the first time, walking up to them. He wasn't in rapport yet. That's when you have to turn your back. You have to. In rapport, you never use negative body language. It's a serious problem. In fact, it can ruin, not just ruin your interaction with her, but she will hate you if you do it. Because and I'm really glad you actually asked that question to clarify, Phil, because that's a really big, that would be a really bad thing if people thought that that was what you had to do. So what you want to do is during the rapport phase, almost everything that you had in the attraction phase disappears. You're not playful anymore, like silly. You can still laugh and stuff. You can like tell funny stories, but you're not going to be playful, joking. You're not going to jab at them a little bit like they're your sort of little sister, you know, and be silly with them. You're not going to banter. You're also not going to use negative body language and get distracted easily. None of those things are going to happen. You're also not going to be in a group setting either. You're going to be in one-on-one typically. You want to be one-on-one for most of rapport if you can. And the reason why you want to do that, and this is another one of Phil's questions, the reason why you want to be one-on-one in rapport is because people don't feel comfortable opening up at all at period if there's one person who they've never opened up with and they're not really sure if they can trust at all in their immediate surroundings, they will not open up to you. So it could be you and her and one other person standing there that you think she knows really well, and you ask her to a question that is a rapport question, and she won't go in. She won't go in because she'll be revealing something really, really sensitive and really exposing about herself. And when she goes into something that's that sort of vulnerable, she leaves herself open to attack from the person standing there, not just you. So you have to be with her somewhere. You don't need to necessarily isolate, like, you know, that concept of isolating, like pull her to a place where it's just the two of you. You know, like you isolate a baby after they're born and put them in the, you know, incubation chambers. I don't know what that is actually. The chambers. You don't sit on babies to make them hatch, as far as I know. But it's possible. I'm not a baby expert. But ultimately, you want to make sure that you're in some kind of a position where she's comfortable opening up. And usually that means it's just the two of you. At least you're broken off a little bit. You can still be standing in a group, but you have to be facing each other directly and really having a deep conversation with each other only, just the two of you. And if other people are involved, then it's you building rapport with a lot of people at once, and I wouldn't expect everyone else to open up around you. I have built rapport with groups of people at the same time. That's a very advanced thing to do, and I wouldn't recommend it. It's really, really hard to do, and we'll have to go into that some other time, maybe in a future founding members call or... I don't know. I go over it in detail in my rapport boot camps that are, you know, several days long, 3 to 5 days long, depending on which event it is. And those, of course, I go into that technique and that concept because it's an accelerated course on mastery of rapport. But, you know, this is not that environment, so I don't want to get into that right now. But yeah, you do want to be kind of one-on-one if you can. Brett asked me if I could go into more pattern breaks for different moments that I've experienced that I may come across. Absolutely. Okay, so just so you can get an idea, Brett, anything that you do sort of without consciously thinking about it is where a pattern exists for you. Now, anything else that other people do, kind of things that you see most people doing, like, for example, walking. Walking is a major pattern. We walk, we don't look people in the eyes, we look down. We have these patterns. They're all body language patterns, but they're patterns nonetheless. If someone stops you, your immediate response is to back away. To go, what do you want? Because that pattern is I'm about to ask you to fill out a survey pattern. I'm about to ask you for money pattern, right? So you have to break that, and you can't let them think that's what's going on. The way that you do that is as soon as you stop somebody on the street, turn shoulder to shoulder with them and point in the direction they're walking. This is a sneaky, sneaky thing to do. Whenever you do this and you turn shoulder to shoulder and you point while you're talking, you know, I don't care if you're like, here's what I usually do. I just came from over there. And I'm walking, and that's it. That's all I'll say. But the whole point is that while I'm standing next to them shoulder to shoulder, and I'm looking, and we're both looking in the same direction, we immediately go into, I already know this person, and I trust this person mode. That's the new pattern, right? Because you don't stand shoulder to shoulder looking in a direction someone's pointing unless you trust them. That's how it is. Actually, I learned this concept from a guy named Darren Brown. Darren Brown's a master of illusions, so he's like an illusionist, but he's also a master of NLP and subliminal messaging and persuasion. And Darren Brown, I've deconstructed a lot of stuff that he teaches. And one of the things that he does is he robs a guy in broad daylight, robs him of his phone, his keys, his wallet, and his watch, all at the same time without ever threatening him or anything. The guy just hypnotically gives him all of his stuff, and then Darren Brown walks off. And as he walks off, he realizes what is happening, and then he starts wandering around going, what the hell just happened? And he finds Darren Brown again. He goes, hey, did you I think you just took all my stuff. And then Darren goes, oh, I'm so sorry about that. And he starts giving the stuff back. And then he does it again and takes it off of him again and walks off right in broad daylight twice. And the guy's completely baffled. And he started it out by stopping the guy, backing up and turning the same direction as the guy and pointing, and then stepping back a couple steps and having the guy step toward him. Right, so the guy is now leading him, like following him all over the place. Darren Brown's leading this guy like crazy, and then he goes, "Just for a moment, just hand me your watch and your phone real quick, and I'll over here is you said over here is the train, and then that way is not the train then, because I got confused, and just go ahead and take your watch off here." And that's exactly what he's doing. And I'm not shitting you. If you get a chance to look this up, just go just type Darren Brown robs guy in broad daylight. I'm sure you'll find it on YouTube or something. Really, really amazing thing that he does. And the way that he does that is he plays into that pattern that that people have, that they live into, and he breaks it. So one way you can break it, if you're stopping a girl on the street, as soon as you stop her, like I usually put my hand out, palm down at around waist high, sort of in front of her, but not too close, like maybe about 3 feet or so, depending on how fast she's walking. If she's not walking very fast, you can get closer, but if she's not, then you need to get farther away. Because she'll run into your hand. That can be assault. So you don't want that to happen. It literally can be assault. I mean, you could get in a lot of trouble. Phil's seen Darren Brown. He's amazing, isn't he, Phil? He's just ridiculous. I actually studied him a lot in order to understand NLP. And a lot of the persuasion stuff that I teach is based on a lot of the concepts that I learned from Darren Brown. And a lot of the superhuman stuff that I do is I learned from deconstructing Darren Brown's things that he does and then reconstructing them for women, because it works. It works really, really well. So anyway, that's one pattern. Another pattern, though, Brett, for that you may want to run into often is, let's see, besides the work one, besides the walking one, you'll also have, let's see, specifically for women, let's do the coffee shop one. If you're sitting, she's sitting at a coffee shop. She's not working there. She's sitting at a coffee shop. The pattern interrupt for coffee shop is super direct, meaning walk up and go, I was walking by outside and I looked in this window and I saw you here. And I was just, I almost dropped my books. I almost dropped my bag. I almost, whatever, you know, I was on my phone and I stopped talking and I realized that if I didn't come in here and introduce myself to you, that I was probably letting something beautiful pass by, right? This is something that she would never expect to experience in a million years, but she's always hoped would happen in a cafe while she's sitting there with her little, you know, metaphoric beret on, you know, writing poetry. Like, that's sipping on a latte. That's like what they're all doing, you know? So what you do is, her natural pattern is to expect everyone to ignore her and not talk to her. So you can't do that. You can't walk up and go indirect very easily. It's much more powerful to break that pattern by being super direct immediately, right? Now, a bar, same thing. A bar, a woman expects you to hit on her and try to sleep with her. So what do? You don't do that typically, unless it's a situation in which, you know, that's not the case, where she's not expecting you to do that at a bar, which is not very normal. But let's say that it was. Let's say that you were at a...
Irish bar.
Irish bar? Come on. Yeah, right. Irish bar, they just expect you to grab them and walk out the door. No, but no, I mean, I love... Just kidding. I'm not harping on anybody who's Irish. Sorry. I'm surely part Irish. At least on St. Patrick's Day, I am. And I love Guinness. So anyway, I'm just joking around about all this stuff. But ultimately, when you're in a bar, if a girl's there and you're talking to her, most women are going to expect you to hit on them. So instead, you go through a specific process to banter a lot before you go into rapport. Now, when you're doing sort of day games, what it's called, where you're meeting women during the daytime, and again, day game isn't something that you go out and do. It's something that happens because it's daytime, right? It's you meeting women, but the sun happens to be out wherever you are. So if you're going out to day game, quote unquote, like going out to do some day game, that's wrong. You're already doing this wrong. That means that you're too needy already, and you need this interaction to work out well. Instead, what you need to do is go to a cafe, to just whatever, for whatever reason, it doesn't matter. Because you trick your brain into thinking that you're going for some other reason, and it works. Your brain's like, oh, I'm here drinking coffee, or I'm here working on my report, or I'm here writing, playing tic-tac-toe with myself, or whatever. I don't give a shit what it is. It's just not to go pick up chicks. So that way, whenever it happens, you don't show neediness within that interaction. Because if you do go in just to pick up chicks, you're going to be super needy. Now, I know a lot of guys are probably absolutely... terrified of walking up to a woman they'd never met before who's hot in a coffee shop and saying, you know, oh, I saw you outside and blah, blah, blah. I'm sure it's absolutely terrifying to most guys, but once you do it, you will be addicted to it because it is such, you'll get such an amazing response from women. In a bar, you may get rejected 10, 20 times in a night. During the daytime, as you're walking around, 1 in 50 will reject you. 1 in 50. Now, they may say, oh, I have a boyfriend, but thank you so much for saying. And you go, oh, cool. He's a lucky guy. You know, is he here? Can I meet him? Or, you know, you may want to talk and then you have a friend. The end, right? The worst thing that could possibly happen is that you have a new friend, right? That's great. And then she has hot friends too. Don't worry about it, man. They'll invite you to their parties and you'll be friends of theirs and then you'll meet all their hot friends. That will happen. Don't worry. So during nighttime though, most of the nighttime processes we go through for like really attracting women are about breaking these patterns. Women are dressed up sexy. They want you to look at them, but the pattern is most guys look at them, ogle, walk up, try to like, hey, what's up, baby? What's up, sweetie, sweetie, cutie, baby? Come on, pretty girl. You know, let's talk. You know, shit. You know, or they're like, oh, that was a direct quotation.
Starting to work on me, actually.
Yeah. Or they come up and they're like, hey, you know, I just don't want to go through any bullshit. I just want to be real. You know, these are the two patterns that women see. When they see these things, they have responses. The what's up girl is like, oh, you're a player, get away from me, I don't want to hear that shit, right? And then the oh my god, you know, we really, you know, I really need to, we need to meet and talk to you. I just really think that I'm different than most guys. That's like the response they have from that. The play button you hit when you do that is, hey, look, I think we should just be friends. That's the friend zone play button.
Oh, so nice to meet you.
Yeah. Oh, I have friends that blah, blah, blah. And, let's see. Whatever. Anyway, so I got some more questions. Let's go into those. So those are a couple other ones, Brett. But again, I could talk about that for days. So I don't want to get into it too much. Phil has another question. Phil, you're like the number one question asker today. It's awesome. I really appreciate it, actually. I love questions, so this is great. He's asking, is it possible that you could also mention touching as you go through the three rapport phases? Yes, I can mention touching. But to be honest, the process of touch is the process you go through when you touch, and the different levels of touch are completely separate from this whole process that I'm teaching now for rapport, because it's its own thing. It's really in-depth detail. Again, Phil, if you don't have a 5-week body language mastery course, you have to get it. It's crucial because I go over touch for an hour and a half, just touch, just about the process, you know. So you want to make sure you go over that stuff and make sure you learn it. But either way, I'll tell you a little bit about touch during rapport. During rapport, in the beginning, lighter and wide stages of rapport, your touch is still kind of banter-like, like still lighthearted, like you're touching in still in shoulders, maybe hands briefly, but not keeping your hands there for too long. But as you go through deep rapport, the deep rapport process, you begin to hold your touch for longer, meaning it may be 3 seconds in the beginning, and then you take your hands off, 3 seconds, and then you take your hands off, right? And then as you go through deep rapport and you cycle through once, you can now keep your hands on for 5 seconds. And then if you cycle through it again, you can keep your hands on for 10 seconds. And you can hold her hands at that point and look at her in the eyes while you're talking, you know, and she'll be absolutely comfortable with you doing that. In fact, the biggest barrier between guys who can build rapport with women but do not sleep with them, the biggest barrier between them and that physical sexual connection is that they don't escalate touch during rapport. It's so crucial. It took me forever to realize this because I'm building rapport. It's already hard for me. I'm not thinking, oh, I also need to touch and I also need to do this other stuff. So you have to kind of keep that in mind. You know, as you're building rapport and you're going through this process, you are going to have to touch, and touching hands is crucial. You know, you can even touch lightly if you go slowly. Don't move your hand too fast. She'll think you're trying to punch her in the neck. But you know, you can touch her neck area briefly, or, you know, brush her hair out of her face, things like that, and put her hair behind her ear a little bit if she has longer hair. This is a really, really sensual and sexual process, but only get sexual with your touch later on during rapport when it starts to get obvious that her eyes are dilating and she's breathing heavier and she's looking down a lot and she's really getting flustered. Also, some women will, parts of their bodies will turn red when they get turned on. Like a lot of women, their necks turn red. Their chest will, a lot of women's like just above like their tits, basically their chest area, will start to turn red whenever they get turned on. That happens to a lot of women. So because their body's actually heating up, and so when you see that, I mean, I'm a huge fan of calling out this stuff when I see it in seduction. When I see them getting aroused, I'm a huge fan of calling that out. Huge fan, because it just makes them more aroused, because it makes them think that you know what you're doing so well that they can just relax and they can let go. And I just had a really amazing interview. Phil, you said you have it. Okay, great, good. I did an amazing interview with Alex Allman today, actually, that'll come out recently for you guys, or soon, hopefully, for you guys. But we talk about sort of drawing women into your sexual space. It was my favorite interview I've ever done in my life. It was beautiful. You'll see that. You'll hear that soon. But we talk a lot about that, and he's an expert on sex and getting men to sort of really blow women away in the bedroom, and he's absolutely an expert on it. I mean, I've known a lot of his girlfriends, so I've heard stories. He knows what he's doing, and he knows how to teach it. So definitely check that out. But ultimately, that sort of idea that when they're going through that process and becoming sexual, that you can call it out is really, really powerful. Phil, you asked if I think you were asking if polyamory or something looks like was brought up in rapport or in the introduction. Polyamory is brought up during the demonstrating high value stage, which is the second stage of attraction. If you're bringing up polyamory for the first time in rapport, you've already fucked up. So you don't want to do that. You want to be way before rapport. So I'm going to go to the top. We're actually running out of time soon, so I want to get through the rest of these questions and then get back to rapport if I can. if I don't lose my voice first. I've been talking all day long. So, Igor, you asked, can the body language affect women that you already know? So maybe you looked needy the first time you met her. So, you know, so you can look, can you look not needy the second time and it still work? I'm going to tell you something that's probably not going to be very easy to hear here, but no, you can't. When you meet somebody, if you've been needy the first time, if you just show non-neediness the second time and expect them to check that out and accept it, you're probably not going to see the results that you want. But if they've only talked to you twice, then if you're not needy the whole second time you talk to her and you were needy the whole first time, then you're sort of at a blank slate because you've had one entire interaction where you were, one entire interaction where you weren't. And she'll go, well, maybe that was a fluke the first time. Maybe he actually is a cool guy. Now, if the third time you hang out, you're needy again, you're done, right? It's not going to work. So you can undo what you did by using negative body language properly. But when you undo it, you're still at zero. You're not at plus anything, right? So you need to spend just the same amount of time with that negative body language in mind, with that non-neediness in mind, in order for that to work. Otherwise, it's not going to work. And a lot of guys get really impatient and they want to just to like, they want me to tell them something they can do that will get them out of that hole they dug themselves in and then also propel them to 1,000 meters, you know, in the air. And it just won't work like that. You've got to dig yourself, you got to get out of that hole first. Then from there, then you build it up. You can't just, you know, go from being underground to being, you know, in the Mile High Club in two moves. It's not like that. You know, you can't win a chess game in one move. It's impossible. It's impossible. You have to have more than one move because you can't be limited. So if you're limited by how your body language is, by the words that your body language can speak, then you're limited just like everyone else is. You can't just propel it. Like it's like a chess game. You can't just propel straight to, you can't pick their king up and lay it over. That's not playing chess. You know, you have to actually go through some moves in order to do it. So, be patient with that for sure, Igor, and make sure you take your time with it and that you're comfortable. Worst case scenario is you're back in the same situation you're in currently, which is it's not working, you know? So that you have nothing to lose. Phil, you kind of commented on Darren Brown. Another thing that Darren Brown did, he said that was really awesome, was that he convinced a girl that a car was a different color. This was awesome. He convinced her that a car was a different color than it was. He was like, what color is this? And she goes, blue. And then he talked to her for like 5 minutes. And he goes, what color is that car? And she goes, green. And he's like, are you sure? Yes. Like, and he didn't mention the car at all, or the color at all during the story. He was all subliminal messaging. It's very, very interesting. If you want to learn some, I mean, what I will probably do at some point is the stuff that I learned that I took from Darren Brown, I never taught anybody because it's really, really powerful. But I'd like to do is put together an advanced course. That's all that shit I learned from him and other people like him. That I break down and demonstrate and then show people how to do it. That would be really, really fun. The Founding Members Club calls are two things. I got a long question here. The Founding Member Club calls are two things, apparently. They're where I go over concepts and then I think of new products to create. Because that's basically what I've been doing for this whole time. Jonathan also asked another question. How often should we go all the way to deep rapport versus staying in light rapport and wide rapport? And is it more important to transfer emotion to her, or is it more important to lead her to transfer us? That's a really great question. It's more important to lead her to transfer not to transfer to you. It's more important to lead her to get her to try to draw it out of you. That's what you actually want. You want her to go, tell me more about this, blah, blah, blah. You want her to try to draw out this emotion from you. And it may take one time of going through the deep rapport formula once, just to kind of get through it so that she feels comfortable. And then after that, she'll, you know, you want her to try to draw it out of you, try to get you to open up, because that's going to play directly to her gender role. As far as time goes between deep rapport and light rapport, let me tell you something about deep rapport. Most marriages are built on a collective of less than 1 hour of deep rapport. Marriages are built on this. Meaning if you build deep rapport with a woman for an hour, she will feel like she trusts you so much that she could marry you. And this is true. I've unfortunately tested this. You don't want to have to test that. So don't use it unless you really, 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 really want I mean, don't keep going into rapport. I mean, if you go in for 5 minutes and then you back out, that's usually enough for me to go, I trust this guy, he's awesome, right? You don't need to keep doing it. If you keep doing it, you can go an entire night building rapport and building rapport, and she will love you. Love you. Like, she will, you'll be fucking everything she's ever wanted and hoped for in a man. And if you don't want to take her all the way to marriage, then you can't build that much rapport. Having that much control over women might seem like a really exciting thing, but whenever you start to actually have that amount of control, it becomes a huge responsibility for you, and you will eventually, you know, hurt people really, really bad. And you do not want to hurt a woman when you're in rapport. After you've built that much rapport, you will make an enemy out of her, because rapport doesn't go away. It only transfers from positive to negative rapport. Meaning, she has a positive idea about who you are. She really likes you. She thinks you're awesome. Oh, she's really, really invested. She's like, thinks you're the coolest guy in the universe. And then you don't accept her all of a sudden. Oh, now she wants to, like, she'll go out of her way to fuck your life up. I mean, out of her way to fuck your life up. And this is not just from personal experience. This has been proven psychologically. This is what happens. So as rapport is built, you're building something you cannot undo. The only thing that undoes rapport is time. And lots of it. So if you've been, you know, an hour's worth of rapport can take an entire year to undo. And that's just how it is. So you got to be careful. You have to really think about this as you go through it. So go into enough rapport to the point where you feel like she's comfortable, you're comfortable, it's time to hook up or whatever, whatever you want. And then after that, you know, do the rapport to maintain the relationship, to build it up. Especially if you're polyamorous, you know, you got to be there for her to listen to her. And you have to be that friend version of the her lover, like a friendly lover instead of a boyfriend, which is totally different. So, you know, that's a totally different thing again. Like, polyamory is a different animal. But as you build this rapport with her over time, you have to really stagger it. If you go too much, too deep, you can create powerful rapport. And if she starts to get questions in her head about whether or not you actually like her, then she can freak out and really self-sabotage and ruin your life and hers, really. So that's that. The next question I got here is, in the deep rapport formula, I'm covering different stages, sort of fill in the blanks of like when I was a kid and then link it to the present tense and whatnot. That's what Jonathan's asking here. So are each of these required to create love, or does each additional aspect respectively make the connection deeper and better? That's a great question again. You have great questions, Jonathan. I don't know why you don't ask more and more often. Version of that, each step along the process makes it deeper and better. It isn't necessary. That deep rapport formula is a formula built out so that if you follow it and you screw up everything but two things, I mean, if you mess up 90% of it, it still works. And that's how formulas have to be, because the only one that I couldn't actually make like that was the attraction, rapport, seduction, relationship balance formula, because that just is the way it is. But within deep rapport, if you follow it to a T, it will work every time. If you deviate 10%, it will still work. If you deviate 20%, it works not as well. If you deviate 30, again, less. And as you go down, you can get away with probably 10 or 20% really of that process, and it'll still work. But it will not be anywhere near as powerful as if you do it with the whole process. So I would say that you can use parts of it if you don't want to draw her into rapport too much, meaning you just want her to trust you enough to, and this is a lot of guys are like, they don't want a girl to love them, they just want to sleep with them, basically. And, you know, if that is your, I don't condone that fully. I mean, I think that you got to care about the girl that you're sleeping with, and you got to really be a very responsible man in order for me to say, hey, here's a gold star, go ahead and use these techniques to whatever, you know, to your own discretion, at your own discretion, because I won't do that for most guys, because it's just too easy to screw up the world worse than it is to make it better by doing that. So that's why I have this thing so stringent, and it's so specific. You guys want to kick that light on? It's actually getting darker here, so switch over there. I can't see anything anymore. I'm sitting in the dark here doing this recording. It's kind of creepy. I would say that, thank you, that it, as you go through it and you go through this deep rapport formula and you go through this process, if you go through all the stages, then it will work every time. If you do not go through all the stages, or actually if you don't go through all the stages in deep rapport, and or if you lie, by the way, it will not work every time. You're just risking it a little bit more, that's all. And if you feel like there's room for risk and you're willing to, then then you can. That's absolutely fine. Another quick question before I get into the big question here, and then I'm going to just briefly go over a couple things for rapport, and then we're going to have to actually go into more of the deep rapport formula in the next call, even though I did said that last time, but we will have to do it in the next call more deeply. But we'll talk about that in a bit. Phil asked, just to confirm, you need touch to make seduction go smoother. Phil, no, you actually need touch to make seduction happen, period. Now you can, talk to someone and induce a seductive response, but you're not actually seducing her unless you build an anchor, touch while you're doing it. So as you sort of, I know guys who have seduced with their words. They use sort of NLP to seduce women. And I've known these guys, and it does not work for them. I've talked to them about this. It does not work unless they touch in conjunction with it. It will not work. So you need, touch is necessary to go to seduction. If you're not touching a girl and escalating the touch, that meaning if you're not touching her differently when you first meet her than you are when you're later on in the interaction, then you will not sleep with her. It won't happen. Anytime that you look back where you have slept with a woman, you don't know it, but you have gone through this process of touch, and that's kind of what you've done. So you want to make sure that you go through that. And I know that I struggled a lot with this concept, so touch for me was huge. I didn't have anybody to teach me, so I actually had to make a note mentally every time I put my hand on a woman and she took my hand off. I had to make that note, and I ruined a lot of interactions, but luckily, you know, I was... In my mind, I was trained to be a professional dating coach, so I was like, well, I have plenty of time to study this stuff, and I can screw up and allow myself to screw up. And you guys should, too. You have to allow yourself to screw up, because if you don't, then there'll be too much pressure on the interaction. You won't be able to do anything yourself, you know? So I didn't have anybody to teach me how to touch, and so I went through the process piece by piece and had to learn it by trial and error. And then when I started teaching it, I had to make sure I taught it in a way that guys didn't have to learn through trial and error, because it's really, really difficult. It just takes forever. I must have gone through 100 or 100, 200 interactions with women where I screwed up every single one with touch in a different way. You know, I would be like, oh, don't do that again. Okay. And then I'd find a rule. Okay. The rule is if I put my hands on her for longer than 3 seconds in the beginning, then I get my hand taken off. So what my job was is to time mentally while I'm talking. So this is all happening while I'm actually having a conversation, which is kind of superhuman, actually, now that I think about it, because I couldn't do it if you told me to do it, but I really wanted that end goal there. That golden egg was calling my name. long-winded Seth. Seth, you had a long question on here. I'm gonna try to get this question if I can, but it's long, so I hope the other guys don't mind if I answer Seth's question. It's kind of a long, but I think it's going to be cool. I think it'll shed some light on some other things too. I'm going to have to read it though. My point is that as you go through the touch process, it's necessary that you escalate touch through the interaction. Otherwise you will not be able to go into the stage of seduction. Okay. So, Seth, you say, the whole first half of this process is you apologizing for it being so long, so we'll skip past that part. You met a girl 3 months ago, along with her aunt. I guess I don't know what. Okay, who she lives with? All right, I don't understand that, but okay. You only text back and forth, and she usually only responds with one or two words. Okay, that's not a good response. 2 weeks after meeting her, she asked you if you liked her aunt, I guess, and you said, no, I like you, which was a mistake, apparently, you think. So she wasn't, said she wasn't over her ex, right, who she's has a kid with, okay, and her aunt liked me, so she wasn't ready for a relationship, but I was her type and blah, 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 right, okay. So sounds like you got straight into a relationship with this girl. That's the first thing that I would say. Things got awkward. She texted you less. She started talking to another guy, slept with him, and when you confronted her, which you had no place doing, she said it was because she was comfortable with him and what I thought of... Okay, that's fine. She was comfortable with that guy, right? She didn't sleep with you, slept with another guy. All right, so you totally created this problem, by the way. I already know that for sure. You said, but still, you must have higher value than the other guy because she dropped him recently. That does not mean you had higher value. That means that she doesn't get her full all of her needs met with him. You probably are becoming sort of a an emotional tampon to this girl. You're getting really involved. I know that's kind of a weird phrasing, but you know, you're the guy that she can tell that she could tell her problems to too fast. One thing you probably did is you probably took negative rapport too soon, meaning you probably talked about something early on that was bad that you accepted her for, and she really appreciated that. And so she felt like, oh, you know, I'm in a relationship with you. But that was too big of a decision too early. You know, she slept with this other guy, and you were aggravated with that. But why? You were aggravated with it because you wanted to sleep with her. And you didn't do it properly. And so she didn't sleep with you. She slept with this other guy. And I'm not trying to be harsh or anything. I'm not saying that that was a huge screw-up or anything like that. And, like, I've never done this before. I know because I have done this before. And I know a lot of guys who've done it too. So let me just continue here. Just like last week, she asked if you wanted to start talking to her, okay, since she finally realized that you're a good guy and she, you know, and you liked your kids, right? This is like 3 months after talking to her the first time. This happened right around the time her aunt also found a guy, and you've been going over together, all four of you guys are hanging out, blah, 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 right? So this is a relationship, right? So she's not really ready for that. She's got baggage, right? She's got a lot of baggage. So you said you feel used, like she didn't really want to get to know you before, and you just kind of got left out. But when all four of you hang out, it feels really awkward because now you're sort of expecting to be intimate with her after 3 months of holding back and just sort of being friends, waiting for the relationship to sort of get out of the friend zone there, right? Okay, cool. That's good. Phil had a lighter statement. Okay, let me just get to the end here of this. So, I missed the part here. Oh, sorry, 1 second, guys. Okay, so she keeps giving you mixed signals in this. She's telling you, oh, come over, don't come over, talk to me, don't talk, and it's freaking you out. Okay, so first off, this is technically what people do when they torture people. I don't know if you know this or not, but this is actually a form of torture when people do this. They give you constant inconsistency, and so you being a nervous wreck is an absolute natural response to this. In fact, there was a study where they took rats, and the rats had they push a bar. Sometimes they get a treat, and then sometimes they get shocked. It would shock the whole cage, right? So the rat would freak out, right? So what happened was, if they did it consistently, like the rat, they'd do 10 times for the food, once for the shock, 10 times for the food, once for the shock. The rat would begin to pick up on it, and then it would bear through the shock to get more food. But when they randomized it, the rats died of starvation because they were too afraid to hit the rat bar and get another shock. They were too afraid because they couldn't find the pattern, and so they died. They didn't eat. They died of starvation. Now, this is a really, really amazing study, because it tells us that what we fear the most is inconsistency. We hate that. We can't stand when someone says one thing and they say another thing and they say another thing. We don't have control over that. But I'll tell you right now, there is a system to this. It's just a complex system. You know, it's an algorithm, and it's too complicated for most guys to understand, which is why you're freaking out. Now, you know, her doing this as well is kind of drawing you in more. You know, this weekend is her birthday. It's my birthday coming up too, so she's a Virgo. Totally get it. No, I'm kidding. I don't really know anything about that. So you're going to hang out with her, it says, have dinner, you're going to, and then actually in between you writing that and then this one, and then just now you actually wrote another question saying that she just texted you, said you're not going to go out to eat now. So here's what I would say, dude. This girl is, she's got a lot of baggage, and B, you're not coming from a place of abundance. You're coming from a place of scarcity. And because of that, everything you do is going to be needy. And it doesn't matter what I say to you right now, it's not going to help you. I mean, I'm not going to be able to tell you how to fix this, because the way to fix it is to turn around and talk to other women, because she's not ready for this relationship. So what's happening is, let me just put it this way. Women view hooking up with guys, sleeping with guys, and being in relationships very differently than most men do. Men don't view those three things the same way. Men look at making out with a girl in a bar like, hey, cool, she must really like me. But chicks are like, oh, I made out with that guy at the bar, but you know, whatever. Just, I'm going to go to another bar now. Maybe I'll make up with another guy. Doesn't matter. Doesn't fucking matter to women. They don't really give a shit. It's not that big of a deal. Most women, of course. It's most women. There are some that are like, no, I don't make out with anybody. That's just because they've chosen not to do that. You know? Or they just haven't met you yet. Hey. But ultimately, they look at making out like it's not a big deal. We look at it like, oh my God, wow, it's a big deal, right? Oh my God, it's crazy. So that's one thing. First off, you can't look at it that way either. If you want to meet women where they are, you've got to look at all three of these things exactly the same way that they do. You have to understand how they look at these things. The next is sex. Sex is huge for a woman. Huge. For guys, is it huge? Fuck no. That's why gay men, the gay handshake is sucking your dick. They don't really give a fuck, man. They don't care. They don't really care, you know? That's because they're all guys, and guys don't give a shit about sex. We're just like, oh, sex, yeah, awesome, let's do it, yeah, cool. What's your name again? Great. We don't really care. A perfect world will be everyone's fucking and no one gives a shit. That would be a perfect world for guys, you know? For most guys, I'd say. But women don't look at it that way. It's a really huge... thanks, Jonathan, for the birthday wishes there. I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a minute. Actually, my birthday, I'm celebrating this whole week, so it actually hasn't happened yet. So you said happy belated birthday, but you don't need to say that because it's coming up. So, anyway, I'm getting off subject here. I see a question, I see a shiny thing, and I start talking about it. And we're going to go a little bit over because I didn't start till a little bit later because of all these recording issues. So I hope you guys are cool with that. The thing that is going on right now, Seth, with you is that you don't know the difference between how women view relationships, sex, and making out and all that stuff, and how you view those three things. Women view relationships as if they're a major burden, a major burden. A relationship is something that they want really badly, but it's a huge risk to get into a relationship with somebody and then possibly have it not work out. It's huge because they get emotionally attached and then they have to untangle themselves. And she just did this with somebody and it's so much work and, you know, it's just so much crap going through her head about how she doesn't want to build that much rapport with you but she likes it, but you know, but it's too risky. And what if it doesn't work out? This other guy, he was a quick fuck because she was allowed to do that because fucking him was easier than getting into a relationship with him. And yes, she dumped him. She did, you know, but who's at better end of the stick here? You or him? You know, do you have higher value? Are you happier or is he happier? I'm sure as shit he's not going, oh man, I wish that she would come. He's probably not. He's probably like, well, who fucking cares? You know, I'm done. Doesn't really matter to me. If you wanted more than that, you're still going to have to go through the process of sleeping with her and all that stuff as well. So you have to progress with this interaction. Now, I don't really understand your question there, Phil. I don't know what you're asking there, Phil. Sorry. Ask that again in English. Anyways.
Hey, Ken. He's talking about surfing.
Oh, surfing. Okay. Well, not yet. I'll get into that in a minute. Sorry. Thanks for decoding that. I appreciate that. So, Seth, ultimately, I'm going to tell you the sort of solid truth. This is the truth is how it is. If you want to push things forward with this girl, you're going to have to pull away a little bit, and you're going to have to work on overcoming your needy body language and your needy responses with texts. You got to control this shit. You can't just let your emotions be communicating with her all the time. You cannot do that. What you're doing right now is you're operating on a base level of, I'm going to be real with this girl, which is great. It's a great intention. It's a really great intention. But when you do that, this is what happens. Write this down. You know, write in your, and start a journal and go, dear diary, today I realized, you know, that if I am absolutely upfront and I try to skip all the stages of attraction, then this is what happens to me. You know, I get super invested. She's not super invested. And then we have a huge disconnect. And I'm in the friend zone, and now I'm struggling to get out of it and trying not to sink in the water, which is exactly how it feels. I know it's nerve-wracking, absolutely nerve-wracking. But that's why when you're deep in the friend zone, the thing you need the most is a guy friend of yours to grab you by the shirt and slap you in the face a couple of times and take you out to the bar to give you a shot. Because that's what you need. You need like an injection of manhood here, because it's easy to fall down this path. Like, I totally get it. I've been there so many times, dude, you have no idea. That's why I know what you need. You know, what you need to do is take yourself out of the situation, realize there are other women out here, and that this woman has a lot of baggage, and that you can attract a lot of other women. Once you come from a place of abundance, this relationship will actually work out. You know, you can make it work, but you can't make it work from your current state of mind. You're going to have to go through the process of of realizing that you can attract any woman you want and knowing that that's the case. And whenever you know that that's true, then and only then will she be interested in talking to you and interested in doing something more than just dragging you along for something that she's gets some kind of fulfillment with. And if you keep being sort of that, and I'm not trying to call you names here at all, not in any kind of way, I'm not slighting you at all, but I just know this is what's happening. If you keep being that emotional tampon, then she will get all of her emotional satisfaction from you, and she will sleep and get all of her sexual satisfaction with everybody else. I promise. You can write that down. That will happen. So what you have to do is deprive her. You know, why does she get that from you? Why is she sucking the life out of you with this? You know, it's freaking you out. You can't do that. You have to instead pull away, and you have to pull away that emotional comfort that you give her, and like, you know, that drop everything to go, you know, be your little puppy dog thing. You have to drop that. She can't have that with you, because she'll have that with you and she'll sleep with other guys, and that will be your relationship. If that's what you want, awesome. Congratulations, because you're doing it. That's fantastic. Don't change a thing. But if it's not what you want, change. Change what you're doing, what you are doing. And if you haven't read through the Tao of Badass all the way through, I used to always get, when I got in situations like yours, nothing could get me out except reading something that somebody had written to help me get out of that. Meaning, reading something from someone else's point of view that I can tell they had gone through what I did, and it gave me fucking hope. Hope is what I wanted. So I would definitely say go through that process and read the Tao of Badass. If you haven't done it, read it. Absolutely. And follow the steps in it. I mean, it's laid out right for you, right within the Tao of Badass. It's all there. So you can have it right there. So I would definitely do that stuff. And hopefully that, and I know it's probably not what you really wanted to hear, but it's the truth. The truth is, if you're in the friend zone as deep as you are in your situation, you gotta back out a little bit. You gotta see what's going on. You gotta have this thing sort of reframed for yourself, so you really understand it, and that you're not. It doesn't own you right now. It owns you completely, and you can't have that happen. So to answer your question, Phil, I did not hang 10 because I've been shortboarding, but I'm getting a shortboard longboard probably tomorrow, so I will be hanging 10. You can't hang 10 on a shortboard. You can only hang 10 on a longboard. I love surfing. I've been doing it since I was a real little grommet, as they call them. A younger kid, and I get to do that over this time here. So, happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to Seth. It's not your birthday, but it might as well be, because today is going to be a day you wake up, because I understand the situation that you're in, man. Hopefully you guys got a lot out of this. I know that we went off in some tangents, and I know that we had some technical issues in the very beginning, so I appreciate you bearing with me during that process. I will see you guys in the next Founding Members call. It's going to be in 2 weeks, so note it on your calendar. That's going to be the 22nd, which is a Thursday. So the 22nd, that day may change because it looks like I have something going on, and I may be out of town during that day. But that may change to the 23rd, but I'll tell you about that. So Brad will let you know. Actually, I'm pretty sure it will be the 23rd. I'm going to go ahead and drag it over right now. Brad will let you know when the next call is, and you guys will be on top of it. If you have any questions, Brad's going to create another web page, like the one that most of the guys are listening to this call on now. He's going to create another one for the next call. And even if you're not going to be listening online, I really implore you to click on that link when Brad sends it to you and start typing in your questions. Just kind of bookmark it temporarily. And then anytime you have a question between now and 2 weeks from now, pop over to that page, type in the question, and I'll answer it on this call. As you know, if you've ever emailed me, you probably have found out that I'm not as, unfortunately, I would really love to get back to all the emails, but I just get so many questions, and I don't know who's a founding member and who isn't on the emails. And, you know, I get a lot of questions from guys who are not my boys like you guys are, and I want to make sure that I get to your questions first. So if you do send me an email, make sure you note in it that you're a founding member. You have to do that. If you don't, but it would be even better if you would just add it to the Q&A section of the what's it called? The webinar space. So whenever we send you the link, whenever Brad sends you the link. So definitely do that. I'll talk to you guys in a couple of weeks. Between now and then, if you have any serious questions or problems, feel free to hop in the members area and pop up a question in there or talk to me there. Also, we're going to start doing phone consultations. So, that reminds me. This Vegas event is starting to fill up. So if you guys want to be a part of the Vegas event, it's in October the 16th and 17th. Is that correct? 15th and 16th? Yeah, that's, we got mixed up with some dates. 15th and 16th is this event. Founding members come for free. You just have to put down a $100 deposit, which you get back at the event. So you really need to sign up for it now because it will be, it will most likely be filled. We're already, you know, a month ahead of time before the event, and it's already starting to fill up. So I would definitely do that. Founding members get in for free. The natural normal prices are $2,000 a seat. We're going to start out with a promo for everyone else who's not a founding member. That's like $500, and we're going to build it up to $2,000 from there. But so you guys get the two of these events a year. There are only two a year. So if you miss this one, there's only one more. Not for the, this is the last one for this year. The next one's the beginning of next year. And you know, you won't be able to come to these things very often. So it's an opportunity to get to meet me and know me and everything. And a trip to Vegas, if you live in the U.S. or somewhere nearby, is really cheap. So I put it there for a reason. This is one of the places we're doing it. We'll give you more details on where we're staying. It's going to be on the Strip. So if you get a place anywhere in the Strip, we actually have deals for hotels now that are really cheap for you guys. It'll save you, literally save you thousands of dollars on these hotel rooms because we talked them down from, you know, $1,000, a $1,500 or $1,200 room to literally $150 a night. Like, we had a badass negotiator do this stuff for us. So we got the hookup for you guys. But you have to sign up and let us know. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to come to that, and we're not going to hook you up with it. It's just not going to happen. So let us know if you do want to come. Email Brad at thedowofbadass.com, and he'll get you set up for that. It's the only way to get in right now is to email Brad. We have links, but I'm not going to give you that link right now because it's complicated. So just email Brad at thedowofbadass.com, and he will get you set up for that for the upcoming live event. Live event is all about how to approach. I'm going over sorry, I just got a flurry of comments. I'm going over everything from soup to nuts, dude. Everything you need to know about approaching women, approaching them. I mean, like, technical stuff. Do I approach her from this angle, from this angle? What's the best thing if there are groups? All the way from that to approach anxiety and how to overcome it forever to all the way to concepts and building confidence around approach. And then also to theories and philosophies behind approach to make all of your approaches and all the women that you do approach a lot more responsive to everything that you say. I'll be going over daytime, nighttime, dusk, dawn, you know, 12 a.m., 2 a.m. I don't care. I'll go over every situation that that you could possibly be in besides like weird insurance type situations where it's like, what happens if I'm in a hurricane and there's a tornado? Is my house covered? Do I need tornado insurance or do I need hurricane insurance? Okay, well, I'm not going to go over, like, how do I approach a woman who's 6'2" and, you know, has one leg? All right, slowly. Because she can't run away. I'm not going to go over that stuff. But a lot of the situational stuff I'm going to be going over. So if you do want to be a part of this, and anyone who knows me who's ever been with me knows I never teach this stuff about approach. I never teach it. That's why I'm going over it in a big environment like this. So if you do want to be a part of it, it's going to be cheaper for you to come to the event live than it will be for you to buy the DVD later. I promise. So make sure you come to the event live and you experience that. And you can be there with me. You know, make sure you do that. So got a couple of things in here. Just Seth, it seems like you kind of – I'm glad that you feel relieved from that because I was kind of afraid that maybe you get freaked out after me telling you all that stuff about that, that I calm you down a lot. That's good. Yeah, you don't have to drop her necessarily all the way. Like, again, like I said, you don't erase her number from your phone. I'd never do that in a million years. Stuff like that. But you know, I just want you to go through the process of really separating yourself there. Phil, you're asking about, by the way, thanks for the birthday wishes there. Everybody who said that is fantastic. But you're also talking about getting room rates for Vegas. Phil, if you can, right now, add another comment, but put your email address. In the comment, put your phone number. And I'll have Josh call you immediately after this is over and talk to you about getting those room rates because he has to hook you up directly and put you in touch with the guy and get you there. So if you can, before I close this event, which is going to happen in just a moment, so go ahead and type in your phone number, Phil, and if it's okay, if we can call you now, that would be great. And Josh will call you and talk to you about that. I got another question from Anonymous, apparently, asking if I'm doing the PUA conference. I'm not sure which conference that is. I don't typically speak unless people pay me, because I'll just be speaking all the time if that's the case. So if the pickup conference, if you do want to recommend me to the conference, get a hold of them and tell them to get a hold of me, and I will speak at it if you guys think it's going to be a good thing for me to do. Especially if my founding members are going to be there, I'll do it just for you guys, man, because I think you're awesome. Okay, great, got that. Thanks, Phil. And then if you do want to do it, just recommend anything you want me to speak at. Get a hold of the people who are running the event and recommend it. I can't do it myself. I don't have anybody that does it for me. People just find out about me and they come to me and they approach me. So if you do that, make sure that you submit my name and recommend that I go out there and teach and recommend that I do that event. So if there is an event that you'd like to see me at, please contact them and let that happen. So there's the PUA conferences all over the place. So they had one in LA, they have one in New York, they have them all over the place. So I'm not sure which one they're talking about there, but whichever one it is, I'll speak. But I need to know that you guys are going to be into it and you think it's a cool thing. I'm not going to go speak at something that's totally lame that you guys wouldn't stand behind, because I wouldn't stand behind it either. So I wouldn't want to do that. Anyway, do you have anything you need here, Josh? You got it? Okay. All right, cool. Phil, you'll get a call from Josh in a minute. Anybody else who wants to talk to Brad as well about this event, you can email Brad at thedowofbadass.com, or right now you can also type your name and your phone number and we'll call you, if not immediately now, we'll call you at a time that is most convenient to you. So you can go and send that to Brad. Most of this information it's going to be a lot easier if it's just tell you over the phone. So get on the phone with us. Brad, you'll get their numbers if they do email you. And we'll go from there. So thank you so much, guys. I appreciate it. Thank you for your time. And I'm going to go ahead and end this webinar now. And you guys rock. I had a really great time. And I'm, again, sorry for the technical difficulties there. but hopefully it won't happen in the future. Peace. Talk to you soon. Have a good one.